Well, good morning again. It's good to see all of you here this morning. And I'm Pastor George, and I'm delighted to have this opportunity as we begin a new series, Strong Families. And today we're going to be talking about parenting and how parenting is a relationship. And I want to ask the question, how many of you here this morning are parents? All right. How many of you here this morning had parents? All right. So that pretty much includes all of us, all right? So don't anybody tune out. God has something to say to you today. We're all included in that today. Parenting, though, is a relationship. It's not a task. It's a lot of tasks. Parenting is not a skill, although that it does involve some skill that you develop. But it's not skill. It's a relationship. And some of you here this morning are beginning that journey as a brand new parent. Some, you've been parents for a good long time, and you're grandparents now. And some of you, you're right in the middle of that. You're right in the middle of that parenting time. And anybody who's been a parent for more than a day knows that it's easy to begin to see that the relationship is not just tasks. You begin to look at parenting, and you think, bottle fed, diaper changed, asleep in the crib, you know? And so the tasks are done for a little while, maybe not even for the day. And then as you fast forward about 18 years, it's schoolwork finished, dinner fed, in by curfew, and that task done for the day. But it's so much more than task. It's not the task that are so important. It's our relationship. It's the relationship. And Jesus taught us that in the whole of our life, nothing is more important than our relationship with God, our love for God, and the love that God first gave to us, and our love for each other. So obviously in our parenting, or in our relationships with our parents, nothing is more important than love. And there's something about knowing that, something about having that settle in on your heart and settle that in your mind that just takes a whole lot of pressure off. It changes the whole way of thinking. Knowing that it's not necessarily the skills that you have as a parent, knowing that it's not getting all the tasks done before the day is over. But when you know that, it helps you in so many areas that it's all about relationship and it's about love. And it especially helps you with this all-consuming and important reality of parenting. The reality is there is no such thing, and you all already know this, there's no such thing as perfect parents. I didn't have perfect parents. I wasn't a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect grandparent. Nobody here is a perfect parent. And the scary part for those of you who are right in the middle of parenting right now is that you're not a perfect parent either. And we're all sinful human beings. We're imperfect human beings. And you're trying to parent a more sinful and imperfect human being. How in the world is there going to be that kind of relationship, a perfect relationship that we'd like to have? Because in that, we make mistakes. Things don't go like we want them to go. There's something about actual, real parenting, not the idea of it, but the reality of it, that humbles you. I heard Chuck Swindoll many years ago talk about a guy named Charlie Shedd, and maybe some of you have heard of Charlie Shedd. He was a Presbyterian pastor, but he had a knack for titles, and he wrote a lot of books, and some of the titles of those books, or really all those titles, will catch your attention. But one of the things, one of the sermons that he had when he first got started was a message called How to Raise Your Children. And he taught that sermon. He taught that over and over. He taught it to thousands of people. And they were wowed by his message on how to raise your children. But then a problem arose. He had his first child. And he actually became a parent. And immediately he changed the title of that message from How to Raise Your Children to Some Suggestions for Parents. And he sort of stumbled his way through that. And then he had two more children. And so he had to change the title again. And he changed it to Feeble Hints for Fellow Strugglers. You know, all of us can relate to that. You know, especially us parents. Everyone feels like a failure as a parent at times, because it is a huge task and it is very important, but we are imperfect human beings. Now, we all fail at tasks, but everyone can learn to love at all times. And that's the message this morning to parents. When it comes to parents, it's not just to parents. It's to all of us in any of our relationships. But when it comes to parenting, everyone has an opinion about it, especially psychologists of our day, and especially grandparents. You know, I have a hard time as a grandparent not giving suggestions, you know, to my children as they raise their children. But we all have our opinions, and opinions are a mixed bag. Some opinions are helpful, but some opinions are awful. They just don't fit you at all. And so we're going to begin with the truth today. The truth of parenting is this: nothing is more important in your relationship as a parent and your relationship with your parents than love. Nothing is more important than that. And that is the truth to remember every time you wonder if you're making it, every time you wonder what you're going to do next, every time you wonder how is this going to work, remember first of all, and remember foremost of all, nothing is more important than love. Jesus paved the way for us for that relationship with children, whether you're a parent or not. Some of you folks here this morning are single, and I recognize that, but you should relate to children too. And so how should all of us relate to children? We should all relate to children like Jesus did. Jesus showed that all of us have a part to play in relating to children and helping them to grow to be the people that God wants them to be, loving Him. Loving Jesus and relating to Jesus. So I want you to look at this first verse that we have there on your outline. There's an outline in the bulletin, in case you didn't notice, with all of the verses. But if you want to turn in your Bible to all the verses we're going to say, you can do that too. Get out your Bible. Turn to Matthew 19:14. And in this verse, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to people who are like these children." And before Jesus said this, I want you to kind of imagine the background of this. What's happening before this? Before Jesus says this, that I can imagine that there had to be some moms there, you know, with those children. That's how they got there. And the picture is not from the direction of Jesus, but I want us to look at the perspective of the moms that day. And there had to be some moms that got together in Jerusalem that day, and they heard that Jesus was in town. And so they decided, let's take our children to meet Jesus. Can you imagine that? Go and meet Jesus. They knew that Jesus is the promised one, that Jesus was right there in their midst, and they wanted their children to meet Jesus. And they wanted their, how would you like for your child to be able to say, "I sat on the lap of Jesus. I met the promised one. I met Jesus." And all of their life they would remember that. And so the moms talked about it, and they got excited about it, and they gathered up their children, the little ones in their arms, and the little larger ones that could walk alongside them, and they made their way down the street, and they were going to see Jesus. Can you imagine the excitement there? And I can imagine along the way there were some other moms who saw the first group of moms walking down the street with their children, and they got excited, and their children got excited, and they joined them. And here they are, they're getting closer and closer, and the kids are asking the question, the same question that children ask today: are we there yet? Are we going to see Jesus? Are we seeing Jesus yet? And so they're getting closer, and the kids are getting excited, and their moms are describing Jesus to their children. He's the healer. He's the teacher. He's the promised one. He does things that no one else can do. And you're going to get to meet Jesus. And so they get closer, and they come down this narrow street, and they look down the narrow street, and they get a glimpse of Jesus, and they're going in the right direction. And all of a sudden, bam, they're right in front of the disciples. Just before they get to see Jesus, there are those disciples. And they're saying, Jesus doesn't have time for you. Jesus has got more important things to do today. You're going to have to go home. I'm sorry. Every one of us can imagine what it must have been like at that moment. In loss and in grief, they turn around and they start to walk away, and the children are asking, "Mom, where are we going? I thought we were here to see Jesus." And so the moms try as best they can to explain, and tears start to come down some cheeks, and some children start to say, "Why can't we see Jesus?" And in that moment, they hear behind them this strong, powerful, but gentle voice. "Don't stop the children from coming to me. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those like these children." And they turn around, and there is the smiling face of Jesus. And Jesus' arms are wide open. And that's how Jesus feels about children. That's how Jesus feels about children. That's the place that you and I can meet Jesus and make a difference in the lives of our children, in the lives of the children of other families, the children of this church, and the children in our community, the children that we rub shoulders with, whether you're a parent or not. That's the place that we can meet with Jesus, and we can meet him, and we can make a difference in the lives of children. But it has to begin where Jesus began. It has to start with the obvious. It has to stick with the obvious. And it has to never get away from the obvious. And that is, you have to choose to love. Above everything else, you have to choose to love. And so that leads us to the verses that we're going to look at a little more in depth. And that is from John chapter 13. Jesus said these words as well, beginning in verse 34. Jesus said, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So the beginning point of parenting, the beginning point of any relationship, is I want to love like Jesus. Now, that's pretty easy for us to demand that of others. I want you to love me like Jesus. But what is really difficult is for me to come to the point where I can love you like Jesus loves you and like Jesus loves me. How do I bring that in my life? How do I make that work in my life? If we're to love everybody like Jesus loved, it's obvious it has to include the people that are closest to us, the people in our family. How do you love like Jesus? I want to give you four things today, four things that you need. First of all, if I'm going to love like Jesus, I have got to follow. I must follow God's ultimate illustration. And God's ultimate illustration is in Jesus Christ. Jesus was saying in these verses, he says, "I'm the one you can follow." He says, "Just as I have loved you." We're just going to walk through John 13, and we're going to see these things that Jesus taught. And the first thing was, he said, you need to follow his ultimate illustration, God's ultimate illustration. Jesus said, "You do as I do. You do it as I love you." Jesus was saying, "I'm the pattern. I'm the illustration. I'm the model. I'm the example. I'm the standard of love." And this is a principle not just for parenting, but it's for friendships. It's for your business world. It's for your classmates at school. It's for your teacher at school. It's for your marriage. It's for everywhere else in life. And the principle is this. You and I will be pulled toward the example that we concentrate on. You and I will be pulled like a magnet toward the example that we concentrate on. And this is why it's so important. All of us tend to, and we are drawn to follow the examples that have been set for us. I have a tendency to do that, and you have a tendency to do that. We tend to drift towards the kind of marriage that you grew up with in your home. You have a tendency to drift toward that marriage that you grew up with, that you saw mom and dad illustrate in your home. And if you grew up in a home where a lot of affection was displayed, You're going to tend to drift towards that. That's the kind of home that I want. And if you grew up in a home where a hug was a rare event, then you're going to tend to drift towards that. It is extremely hard to break the power of the example that's been set on us. But it's not impossible. And so this is extremely important for parenting, for friendships, and all relationships. It has deep implications for parenting. As parents, that's going to happen. We're going to drift toward the kind of home that we grew up in. And some of us grew up in homes that were very loud. There was a lot of noise. You know, five brothers and sisters talking all at the same time. Everybody's trying to talk louder than the other person. And that's what you're used to. And maybe that's the kind of home you grew up into. And that feels like life to you. That feels like home to you. Others of you grew up in a home where it was so quiet that if a fly was in the room and started buzzing around, that was a major event. And then other homes, a 747 could go through the living room and you'd never know it. Just the kind of home that you grew up in. It is the power of example. And I want to ask you the question, has there been at least one time in your life when you have seen in your words or you have seen in your expressions a reflection of your parents' words or reflections? Probably all of us would have to say yes to that question. We would have to answer yes to that. You've seen that happen. But that is the power of example. Now, here's the big question. What if I have been given some bad examples to follow? Now, let me rephrase that question. It's not what if. All of us have been given, because there are no perfect parents. Even good parents at times make mistakes. And there's some bad examples that we've seen even in good parents. I made some bad examples to my children as they were growing up. And good parents give bad examples sometimes. But what if you grew up in a home where you were given a lot of broken examples? You just can't think of any good examples. You can't find any good examples if you grew up. Maybe you grew up in a home in that like that. Well, how can I change, Pastor? Jesus, how can I change? I don't want my children to have that kind of bad example as they grow up. It's not enough just to want to break a bad pattern or a bad habit. You have to have a new pattern. And Jesus gave us a new commandment. Jesus said a new commandment, a new commitment that I give to you. But a new commandment and the new commitment is not enough by itself. I need something more. I need something larger. I need something greater. The magnet of the models that you were given, it tends to keep pulling you back. In fact, the more you say, I'm not going to be like them, I'm not going to be like them, the closer you get to being like them. The closer you get to the magnet, and it's pulling you in, and you need something different. You need a stronger magnet. And most of us, we want to change, and we try to change. But we end up feeling worn out on the inside, and we feel like, I just have to keep this up. And if I can just keep it up for a few more months, a few more years. Way too many times, couples who tried and they made it work while they were trying and their kids were at home. But once their children left home, they were so worn out of trying on their own energy, they had nothing left to give each other. But God has a better plan. God has a better example. God has a better illustration in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of just resisting the magnet of the past. There is a new and better magnet that Jesus wants to give you. He says, let my love be the example in your life. And if there is any gift that I'm praying that God will give me as a parent, and that God will give you as a parent, and that God will give my children as a parent, it is that gift of knowing that it is not a matter of just trying to be a good parent and having the skill and the task of a parent. It is a matter of trusting God, that God is going to be the magnet, that Jesus is going to be the magnet that pulls you toward His love. There is something refreshing about that. There is something that frees me up about that as being a parent. If you have not yet discovered it, you can. And Jesus offers it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, And Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and Paul was saying that I've discovered it. He says, and you should follow my example just as I follow Christ's example. Paul had learned in his life to be able to follow the example of Jesus Christ, to put this new and greater and better and stronger magnet into his life. So how do we do that? We begin to put this into place in our life. How do we put it into place in our life? If we're going to do that, we have to do the second thing that we see in these verses, and that is I need to accept God's unconditional love. Jesus said it's a foundation. Now here's the foundation. He said, I have loved you. God's love for you expressed through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the greatest experience that any of us can have in life is discovering and really accepting God's unconditional love for us, and that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And once you see that, once you really see that, there is a new strength in your relationship with God that flows over to every relationship in your life. And the love that God has for you becomes the foundation for all the other love. Now, here's the principle from this. The relationship principle that is behind this is the love I have is the love I will share. Now, there's an old saying that says you can't get blood out of a turnip. If you don't have that love, you're not going to be able to share that love. It starts by accepting the unconditional love of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're going to give out that kind of love that he gives. And you may be holding his love at arm's length today, and you may be just discovering his love, or you may be embracing his love. But the truth is, his love for you is not dependent on your action. It is dependent on him. It is his character to love you. God's saying, I love you, and I want you to get this. Just focus in intentionally on this truth, that this foundation of God's love for you. And the Bible says this about God's love, Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Did you hear that verse? There is no condemning in God's love. God's love does not condemn you. He says, with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you. The Lord, your Redeemer, says that. It is a compassionate love that God has for you. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, he says, I am convinced, Paul's writing here, and God's inspiring Paul to write these words. He says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says in Ephesians chapter 3, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Are you still with me? This is the word of God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. You're in the world. God created you, for God so loved you. He so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It is the unconditional love of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it is by grace that you have been saved. And then we come down to our next verse, John 15:9. I've loved you the way my Father has loved you. Make yourselves at home in my love. Make yourselves at home in my love. And when you and I get a hold of that, when we accept that kind of love into our lives, and then we have that foundation, there is nothing you can do better as a parent. There is nothing you can do better in any other relationship in your life or anything else in your life than that foundation of God's unconditional love. Jesus said, I want you to live at home in my love. I want you to live there. And things are better at home. I've found things are better in my home when I make myself at home in God's love. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The next verse is in your outline. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You are a dearly loved child of God. You are loved by the Heavenly Father. And one of the greatest things you can do is to love your child. But it is also to recognize, if you are going to love your child, you've got to recognize that you are a dearly loved child. And that builds a foundation in your heart, a foundation in your life that can make it through the tough times, that can continue. Sometimes it's tougher to continue in the good times in God's love. And that is the foundation that you need. And one of the greatest things that I can do to love my child is realize that I am a dearly loved child. And I want to ask you the question, do you want to be a good parent? I think parents want to be good parents today. Well, if I'm going to be a good parent, I need to see how deeply God loves me. Begin by committing yourself to that love. Now, how do you start a relationship with God and get in on His unconditional love? You don't have to come to church for 30 years. You don't have to wait for 30 years before you can start that relationship. You can start it right now. Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done. He gave His own life for you on the cross. He sacrificed Himself. And I want you to know, Jesus said, how much I love you. And even though you may not understand all about that, nobody understands all about that. I just heard Billy Graham preaching last night, one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived. And he was saying, I don't understand all about what God did for us on the cross, but I believe it. It's to accept it into my life and to change my way of thinking, to change my attitude. I can come to God now. Just do it by prayer. Just say right now in your heart, Jesus, you can do it right now. You don't have to wait for the invitation. You can do it right now. Just, Jesus, I want to begin a relationship with you. I'm accepting your free, unconditional love. That no matter where I've been or what I've done, you still love me. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And I want to live in that forgiveness. And I want to live the life that you created me to live. And Jesus, I'm committing my life to you. I'm committing to have a relationship with you, a love relationship. There is nothing you can do better as a parent. Obviously, that sounds really good. And it's the thing that I need to keep coming back to again and again and again as a parent. But there's a third thing that I need. And that third thing is I need to make known the love of God. Jesus said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples. And here's the principle. Parenting is letting the world know I belong to Jesus. Parenting is letting the world know, hey, I belong to Jesus. Psalm 115 and verse 1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. That means that parenting must have a purpose, the purpose that's higher than itself. And a purpose that is higher than itself, we find it in this verse that we just read in Psalm 115, not to us, but to your name be the glory. God created you. God created us. He made us. And God made us to honor Him with our lives. And the highest purpose of parenting is to let the world see something about whose we are. And I think one of the greatest verses of parenting in all the Bible is this next verse in Psalm 127, verse 3. Parents, no matter how you feel about your child right now, no matter what you said to your child this morning, no matter what your child said to you this morning, I want you to see what this verse says. This verse says that children are a gift from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. This is a gift. And it is a stewardship thing here that we're talking about. A gift God has given. And I get a chance just for a few years to hold that gift. And holding that gift, I get a chance to show that gift, those gifts that I have. Those green olive branches that are around my table, I get to show them something of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Parenting is about God. God's higher purpose for your life and your children's lives, to get to know Him, to get to honor Him. Now, I'd love to say that if you follow all of these things that we're talking about this morning, that God's going to solve all your problems in 10 minutes or less. It just doesn't happen that way. We live in a real world. You know that. Because we live in a real world, we face real problems. However, no matter what the struggle with your children, no matter what they've said, no matter what has happened, no matter what they've done wrong, no matter what you've done wrong, you can today choose to love. You can choose to do that, and as you begin with that foundation, as you begin at that point, as you look towards that higher purpose, that God's the only way, yeah, He's going to show you some things to do. When you love God, in the middle of the struggle, now parents, listen to this. When you and I love God, in the middle of the battle, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the struggle, that says more to our children than we could ever say to them in words. But there's a fourth thing that I've got to have if I'm going to love like that. And the fourth thing is I need to trust God for the power to love. Now here's what Jesus said. Jesus says, just as I have loved you. Now, that is a command. And Jesus never gives us a command unless He will give us the power to obey that command. And so in that command, Jesus is saying, not only am I commanding you to do this, but I will give you the power to love. Just as I have loved you. He says, I want to give it into your life. And I know as a parent that this kind of talk about parenting can be discouraging. On one level, it can be discouraging. And then on another level, it's very challenging and inspiring. But some of it's discouraging. And God is working to do something real that makes a difference in real lives. And the only way to get there, the only way to get real is one word. Love. Genuine love in the realities of life. Now here's what's genuine love. If you yell at your kids in the morning, you yell at your children in the morning before they go to school, get home that evening, God's been working on you all day long. They get home in the evening and you say, sweetheart, son, Dad yelled at you this morning. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Forgive me. That kind of love will make a difference in our children's lives. That's the power that you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The opportunity that you and I have with God's love and the reality of life. But how do I get there? That's my question. God, how do I get this power? How do I get there? If you're like me, I don't always want to do those right things. I've got things that I want to do. I don't always want to give up the football game. I don't always want to give up the baseball game. I'll say to myself many times, I deserve to watch this game. I deserve to be a part of this. I don't always want to say, forgive me, to my children, to my grandchildren. I don't want to admit that I was wrong. Sometimes I'm selfish. And if you're like me, you're like that sometimes. How do you get to this place? Now, here's the relationship principle behind this. There's a caution. Don't try this at home without a specialist. Don't try this at home without a specialist. And the specialist is Jesus. And so it's not that I'm trying to do this on my own. I'm not trying. I'm trusting for God's power. The Bible says it this way in 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. That's where we start. First, you start with the fact that God loves you. And you start with how He loves you. We love because He first loved us. You start with His love. You don't start with your love because your love wears out. Your love is conditional. Human love is conditional. If you do what I like for you to do, then I'll love you. But God's love is unconditional. And so we start with the unconditional love of God. You realize that we're in this together even as a church family. That we have power together. This power comes from being in a church family. The power of God in our lives as we share that with one another. And you and I are not meant to look to the power of God all on our own. That's why He gives us the church. We do this together. The next verse, let me apply it to our families. Philippians 4:13. I heard this verse in a movie Friday night. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, only they said through Him. But the Bible says through Christ, because He gives me strength. He gives me the power to do it. And some of you look at that and you think, how does that fit into my family? Pastor, I'd love to have a family that does all these things through Christ, but the truth of the matter is, Pastor, you just don't know my family. Well, you don't know my family either. And some of us may be saying, well, my family's messed up. We got a messed up family. Pastor, I don't know how this could work, and my family, we're so messed up. I got some good news for you. God can work in messed up families. No doubt about it. Early in the book of Genesis, there's a story of a really, really good family. They had a family. They had a dad in this family by the name of Noah. We know that this was a good family because God looked all over the earth and He said, that's the only good family that I can find. I'm going to save this family and we're going to start over with this family. And some of you think you have a family as good as Noah's family. No, you don't. No, you don't. Their family was a really good family. But even in this really good family, after the flood, you can read it in the book of Genesis. This family messed up big time. They made some big mistakes. And the point is, even good families trip and fall. But God is still there. And God still used that family. Now you flip over a few more pages in Genesis. And you come to another family. And a couple boys in this family named Jacob and Esau. This family is the definition of codependence. They were codependent. There's no doubt about it. In this family, you got a dad who's making one son jealous of the other son, and a mother who takes up for this son, and all this battle that's going on in this family. It is one messed up family. You know what happened? God worked in that messed up family to carry His promise forward. Create a nation of Israel out of that family. And if you think my family's too messed up for God to do anything great, you are dead wrong. Because all through the Bible, God used messed up families. And God is not finished yet. The story's not over. And as you and I choose to love, God will do incredible things. And at the end of your outline, I've got some practice. Well, let's practice what we believe. Because unless we do something, nothing is going to happen. Let me give you two ways to put into practice, two practical things to do. First of all, I put into practice when I realize love is spelled E-X-A-M-P-L-E. Ask yourself two questions. Question one, what do I want to demonstrate to my children as a parent? What do I want to demonstrate to my grandchildren as a grandparent? Do I want to demonstrate a humble heart? Do I want to demonstrate a servant's heart? Do I want to demonstrate a heart of love? What do I most want to model? If you're not a parent and you're married, you can ask yourself that question about your marriage. If you're single, you can ask yourself about those relationships in your life, your friends, your business, whatever, your school. What do I most want to model for the people in my life who are so important to me? The second question is, where am I going to get the power to be that kind of model? Not by resisting the past, not by wearing myself out by trying, but it's by looking to God's promise for the future. Here's where I get the power. I put this verse in Acts 20 and verse 35. Paul said to a church that he'd served, he said, by everything I did, I showed how you should work to help everyone who is weak. Remember that our Lord Jesus said, more blessings come from giving than from receiving. I don't know of a parent who does not want to demonstrate that for their kids. More blessings come from giving than from receiving. But in order to model that, you have to make some tough choices. A lot of parents, good parents, who say at the end of their parenting careers, if I had just one thing to do over, here's what I'd do. I'd do less for my children and more with my children. You know, it's wonderful to take kids to activities and model, and you're modeling that love to them. But if that's all you do, you're missing out on demonstrating this, which is so important, modeling the fact that we serve those who are weak. What Paul was talking about in that verse, it's not just all about our children. There are weak people that we want to serve. And one of the keys to having a strong family is realizing that God not only wants to work in your family, He wants to work through your family. He wants to work through your family to do things in this world that no other family can do. So demonstrate it. We have to demonstrate it, parents. We have to demonstrate it, grandparents. The second God-inspired opportunity, and the way you spell love, you've heard this before, but it's worth repeating. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. I got to give them time. You got to give them time. And I know that's a struggle. Here is the problem. Time takes time. If you're going to give time, it takes time. And that's the problem. That's a problem in this world. And the problem with giving time is it doesn't always work out like you want it to. And we struggle with that. And so you make the date with your daughter. Or you take your son somewhere and you take him out for a hamburger and a milkshake. How was school today? Fine. You have a fine conversation. And you get down to the end of that milkshake, and you slurp that last little bit, and all you got was fine. But the thing that we need to remember, a couple of things. That probably did more good than you realize, just taking the time to be with them. And second, when you choose to spend a lot of time, there are many times when it just seems that nothing happened. And that's just true in families, but there are some times when something amazing happens, and you may not even see it. You may not even know it, but something amazing happens that they're never going to forget. And the only way to allow for that is by choosing to spend time. And so the challenge is choose to spend time with one of your children this week, or one of your children in a different way than you ever have before, and just choose to do something different. It might mean making that date with one of the children. It might mean just being available when they get home from school or when you get home from work, just taking the first 20 minutes to be there, to be available. It might mean putting the cell phone down in the car so that you're not talking on the phone while they're playing games in the back and you're actually trying to make a conversation. What's the one thing? Just write it down on your outline. One thing. One thing that you need to do this week in a relationship. You might not be a parent. But maybe it's in a relationship with your parents. Maybe it's in a relationship with a friend. Maybe it is with you as a parent, with your children. Write that thing down. But I want you to remember that all of our relationship centers on this one chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What it tells us, it centers on the priority of love. The greatest of these is love. Summarizing the first three verses, it says, if I speak, if I know, if I have faith, if I give, if I sacrifice, but if I do not have love, it amounts to nothing. I don't know about you, but as I look at my life, I think there's no way I'm going to be able to love like this without the power of God through the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And I want to remind you, Jesus is right here. He's waiting for us to ask for that power. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And as God speaks to your heart, I'm going to be down here at the front. Maybe you trusted Jesus today and you want to come and say, Pastor, I've invited Jesus into my life for the very first time. And He's changed my heart. He's changed my way of thinking. and I'm coming to Him today, and I'm confessing Jesus, professing Him as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to come today and just rededicate your family to Jesus. Rededicate yourself and to say, I need the power of Jesus, and I'm asking Him, and I'm believing that He's going to give me that power to love like He's commanded me to love. Let's all